Isaiah. Man, where did that accent come from? Isaiah 43. Give you a second to find it. Second one will be in Philippians, so thumb in Philippians. Finger in Isaiah. Isaiah. Wow, I'm having troubles with Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, starting at the 16th verse. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched, like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. That's the end of Isaiah. Into Philippians 3, starting at verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Nor that I have already obtained, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here ends our readings.
All right, if I could have the kids come forward, please. All right, so I have a few questions for you guys. Do you guys know who the Milwaukee Brewers are? Yes. All right, have you guys ever been to see one of their games in person? Yes. Have you ever seen them on TV?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so this video that I'm going to show you is a really fun video, and it's about the Milwaukee Brewers, and I want you to watch the video and see how passionate the Brewers get after this catch on opening day.
Threat off the bench for Cardinals, and there's a fly ball back into deep right center field. Lorenzo Cain got it at the wall! Lorenzo Cain to end the game!
That was pretty cool, right? It was quick. There was one that was like 5 minutes long, but I thought that might be a little too long. So in the video, all right, they have the pitcher. His name is Josh Hader. He's one of the best pitchers in the National League right now. And everyone, I'm so glad everyone knows them. It was awesome because going into that game, he was supposed to be the one who was going to get all the outs. They have what? Cookies? Giant beetle? Ah, okay. But with Josh Hader being the best pitcher out there, you like think when he goes out to pitch that he's going to do it all by himself. And in that play, did he do everything by himself? No. He pitched the ball and it got hit. And who, do you guys know who Lorenzo Cain is? The center fielder? He caught the ball, okay? And did you see how excited he got after he caught the ball?
Yeah.
He was jumping up and down and then he threw the ball up really, really far. And he was super excited about it. Just keep on. Okay. And so with that, he was super passionate about it. And what was really cool is that they did an interview later with Josh Hader. And he was like, I can be a great pitcher, but I still need a lot of my teammates to help me out of bad situations. Because if Lorenzo Cain had caught the ball, it would have been a home run. And then they would have gone into extra innings. And we don't know who would have won the game after that. But as I talk to the big people today about being passionate, I want you guys to remember that that's what passionate looks like, where you get super excited. You're jumping up and down. You're running around. You're smiling. You're talking to other people. And that's what I want you guys to think about when we talk about being passionate, is being super excited about things. Can you guys do that for me today? Awesome. All right. I have Skittles for you today. And grab one bag. They're different colors, so grab your favorite color and then go. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, they're really good too. Purple or red? Purple or red? You want to go purple. Good choice. So Brewers season is in full swing, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it right now. And it's super exciting for me because just the fact that I can go home, watch some highlights like that, and just get goosebumps. And I've watched that video probably close to 20, 30 times. And it's just, yeah, it's a little obsessive, but it's really fun for me because just to hear how excited everyone gets, especially announcers, listening to Matt LaPay, when he gets excited, he goes off. And it's really fun, really enjoyable for me. I get goosebumps listening to it. And so I wanted to show that video to the kids, though, to understand, to see in a different way how passionate people can act. And in that video, you have Lorenzo Cain making that wonderful catch. He throws the ball up in the air. He is so excited, and he can't just stop bouncing. And that's what we were trying to look for when we were making a mission statement, and we were trying to figure out what this church wants to be when we go out and talk to other people. And that's what passionate builders need to look like in our church. Not that everyone needs to be bouncing up and down their seats the whole time, but just when you're, yeah, and everyone's going to do it now, but just going around and talking to people and being passionate about it. And that's really what I want to get us started off with this sermon. I will also have three music videos that are going to be going on with lyrics that I want to share with you. And the reason for that is that music is a huge thing in today's culture. With YouTube, you can watch any kind of music video that you want, whether good, bad, or in between. And so these three songs that I have chosen are going to tie in with how we start out as disillusioned. We start out at these people that are in darkness. We don't know which way to go. And a lot of the world is in that darkness right now. And we need to be the ones that are going to come in and show them, hey, this is Jesus. This is my Lord. I want to talk to you about him. And then the second music video is going to be more of like when they turn into a follower of Christ, and it's a song by Owl City. And then you're going to go into the third one, which is going to be after they become passionate about their faith, how it can be hard for it, though, because especially when you start off new in the faith, the devil's going to be coming at you from all sides because he doesn't want you to continue in that faith walk. So that's how the three music videos are going to be tied in. The first one we are going to watch right now is called Flame. It's by Flame. It's called Start Over. And this song, the reason I chose this one is because the law and the gospel are so, so well done in this song. I have to warn you, though, he is a Christian rapper, okay? So for those who don't like rap a lot, I apologize right away. But the one thing that I want you to understand and notice is just the lyrics that he puts into this song. Even if you don't like the way that he does it, pay attention to how the lyrics go and then go from there.
Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders. You can start over, regrets. No matter what you've gone through, Jesus, he gave it all to save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders. So you can start over.
Don't let your heart be troubled, don't be afraid. To the brokenhearted, their wishes paid. Never been born, never been torn, never sinned, never disobeyed. I know you think there's no hope,
no,
but that ain't true.
Jesus saves.
I know you feel a regret,
like I
brought this all on myself,
like I
messed it up big time, and this time I don't deserve God's help.
Thinking, how can God forgive me?
After knowing what I did,
can he?
After knowing that I hid from him and I stayed away and backslid.
Listen,
Jesus came for the sick.
So true.
Jesus came for the weak.
Amen.
Jesus came to give good news and to set the captives free.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus came for the poor.
Amen.
Jesus came with the keys.
Amen.
Jesus came to remove the chains so the prisoners can be released.
Everybody's got a blank page, a story they're writing today, a wall that they're climbing.
In the ocean floor, run to his arms like an open door. God the Father sent the Son, so men can come and be free. And gotta run no
That's
more. Come
said.
To me, all who are weary. With heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Separating you from your sin. As far as the east is from the
he
west.
Said.
Thrown in a sea of forgetfulness. What sin? What offense? And when them waves come crashing in, now come the winds in your defense.
What
so whatever
said.
It is that you've done, he put that punishment on his Son.
His
You'll
son.
Never come under his condemnation. Conquer sin and Satan and his accusations.
So dry your eyes, lift up your head.
God is not dead.
Plus he gave us his peace.
And he took our guilt on the cross instead.
Took our place and now we embrace a clean slate with the eyes of faith.
We know.
Unfailing love.
Everybody's
it's not too late.
Got
start
over. A story they're writing today. A wall that they're climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders. You can start over.
Yes, you can mark tally that down. So our mission statement is turning the disillusioned into passionate builders. And when you look at that song and what Flame, who is the rapper during it and the singer during the song, his name is, or his stage name is NF, and it's Nick Franklin or something is his full name. They really wanted to point out how when you come to Jesus, you have a chance to start over. And that's what is the first step to becoming a passionate builder, is that start over, is letting go of the past that we can hang on to very closely, very guardedly sometimes. I look at it like when Cabrina and I got married at first, there were a lot of times I didn't want to give up my singleness because I didn't want to be responsible for saying, hey, I'm not going to be home until 10, 11 o'clock because I'm hanging out with my friends. And that was a struggle that I had to go through, and I had to let that go. And it was hard at first because that was a part of me. And there are a lot of people out there right now who have had things that have happened in their lives. They have done drugs. They have gone to jail for whatever reason. They are involved with someone living with them. They're living in sin. And they think that they can't get away from it. They think they're stuck there. And a lot of the times the reason that happens is because there's no one there who is passionate enough to come to them and say, hey, I have a story to tell you. I need to tell you about Jesus. And that's where the first step of turning the disillusioned into passion builders, we as a church need to be there to start doing that. And that is where, with that song, we can proclaim your sins are gone. They are as far from you as the east is from the west. And it's just so cool how they put it into the song of saying, Satan's going to try and come. And he's got a hold of a lot of people. But Satan's been conquered. He was conquered when Jesus was put on the cross. And that's where we can start getting excited, because we're like, we know how the story ends. And we can go to people and say, hey, by the way, I know right now you don't see this, and I know you probably don't understand it fully. Sometimes I don't even think I understand it fully. But we can go up to them and say, here is the story, and you can rewrite it. You don't have to live with this sin anymore. You don't have to live anymore with this guilt that maybe you have from doing something earlier in your life. You can turn your life around. And the cool thing about it is it doesn't matter how they look. I know a lot of times we get, let me rephrase it. I get a little like leery when I see a lot of people with tattoos, because I'm not a big fan of tattoos. And so I see people like that. I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to you right now. And that's something I need to get over, because I could help them turn into a passionate believer. And that is something that I need to work on. And then there's other things. There might be people who might be dirty, or people who have bad breath, or people who don't dress the same way that you do. There's a lot of distinctions in our mind where we just cross them off the list and be like, I understand you are in need of a savior right now, but because of this, this, and this, I am going to step away and just be like, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And that's where we need to get out of our disillusion of being like someone else is going to take that person and step into what God has planned for us, which is being his children. He's called us forth to go into the world. It's not to go into our homes. It's not to just go into church on Sunday and listen to someone speak. It's supposed to be going out there and making a difference in people's lives. And that's when we can start sharing the gospel. We can start getting excited about it with other people. And it's really cool how the progression can go. Now, sometimes the progression doesn't go the way we want it to go. Sometimes we start talking to people and they might tune us out. Sometimes especially if they're family or if they're a close friend, they can just stop talking to you altogether. The relationship might get broken or it might be strained. I know, like within my family, when we call people out, sometimes we don't do it in the most considerate way. But there are some times that relationships can get strained because we see something that someone else is doing and we're like, hey, by the way, I don't think you should be doing this. And then it becomes strained. And that's where it can get hard. And that's when Satan wants to take a hold of us, because when we go out and become passionate, we lose a lot of energy. And it could be just the fact that you work in a workplace where everyone is swearing, everyone is doing everything that you have been taught not to do. And it's just tough not to join in, because it's easier to go ahead with the flow than it is to stop and be like, no, I am not going to do this. I work in a warehouse right now. I run a forklift. And it's a warehouse. And it's just what goes on and what's talked about. A lot of it is stuff I don't agree with. And they say a lot of words that really upset me. And that is my way, or it is my mission, to make sure that they know, by the way, this is something that I will not partake in. This is something that I'm going to not say something that will go along with what you're saying. And in that way, I am standing out, even if it's just a little bit. And there's going to be times when I have a conversation where I can even take it a step further, where I can say, hey, this is my faith. This is why I don't swear the way that you do. And this is the reason why I don't get frustrated with every little thing that happens. I have one of the guys who actually is a good friend of mine there now. His name is Jerry, and he's like 50, 60 years old. And he gets frustrated with some of the really small things really quickly. And he comes up to me, he's like, Scott, why are you not frustrated right now? And I'm like, we got another truck in. We have to unload it and put it away. It happens. And he's like, but yeah, we got another truck. And he just goes off on a tangent. And in that way, he sees me. He asks me questions. He's like, how come you're so different? And it's a small thing. And I haven't shared my faith with him yet. I haven't gotten that deep of conversation with him, just because we are so busy right now. But there might be a chance where God's going to be like, Scott, I'm going to have Jerry come up to you, and you're going to have to tell him about your faith, and you're going to have to step up a little bit. And I'm looking forward to that time now, because especially with when I was writing the sermon, I write it for you, but it's also for me. There's a part of it that in every single section that I wrote that's like, Scott, this has got to be you and what you're doing. So the first step is going out And being a team when we go out to turn the disillusioned into passionate builders. We cannot just do it by ourselves. We need God on our sides. We need prayer from other people. We need encouragement, especially in this time of age. Encouragement is huge. Just saying, oh, go have fun. We'll see you later. And that's not good enough anymore. We need to be encouraging each other in everything that we do, even if it's in the small things. And when we start encouraging, when we start persisting, God's going to make something grow. And it might not happen within a week. It might not happen within a month. It might take years to cultivate. But that is our job as Christians. And that is our mission statement, is we are there to turn them. We are there to help them in their journey. Our second song is going to be, it's by Owl City. He is a Christian techno. Would that be good? Techno? Sure. He's very, this CD I actually just found out because I got the Amazon Prime Music video, or no, Amazon Prime Music app, and this was the CD that was free for the day or whatever, and so I started listening to it. The first song we're going to listen to is You're Not Alone. So when we start going out and we start bringing people into church, and when we start bringing people into conversations about Christ, they're going to have a lot of questions, and they're going to feel like I'm stepping out into the unknown. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And this song is an encouragement because it's going to show that even though they might feel like it, and maybe sometimes you feel like it, and the world's just up against you, you're not alone ever.
Some days I barely hold on when life drags me down. I wanna let go, but when my spirit is weak, you come to my aid and strengthen my soul. I'm lost without you. I'll never doubt you. Your grace is beyond compare. You rescued me.
And it's when we hear someone talking about how I'm going to stand with Christ till my very last day. The joy that we should have as brothers and sisters in Christ should just go off the wall. I remember when I worked at Elmbrook at their summer camp for 9 years, each Wednesday we would have Share Your Faith Wednesday with the kids, and we would share our testimonies with them. And there were a lot of Wednesdays where I would have kids that would come up to me afterwards and say, Scott, I want to pray with you because I want to ask Jesus to be my friend. And it was so cool to see that because these kids were 9, 10, some as I think young as 7, who were making a very, very big choice. And it wasn't because of what I had said during that exact Devo time. It was the fact that they would be like, well, this other leader was talking to me the other week about this, and then I started reading my Bible, and then I started doing this, and then I started asking my parents questions. And it's so cool to be at that point and seeing it happen that you get a little bit of a spiritual high from it. And I know there were times that at that point, Brody Swanson was my boss. He would see me and be like, Scott, why are you smiling? Because I don't smile all that often, apparently. And he was like, you just seem different right now. And I'm like, well, I had two kids come to Christ today. And then he would start smiling. And it was contagious for us as a staff because we would see it, and then we'd be encouraged by it to keep going. Because there were some weeks, some years, some summers where I didn't have one kid who would, during my time, ask Christ to be their friend. And so I would think, well, I'm a failure. I'm not doing things right. There must be something wrong with me. And then I'd hear a leader come up to me, and they'd say, Scott, you know this kid that was in your group last week? They told me, or they came up to me and asked Jesus to be my friend with me because of something that you said last week. And then I'm encouraged again, and I can get through the summer again because those summers were long sometimes with how much work we had to do. And it was just so cool to feel that. And that's where we can look forward and be like, okay, so why am I doing this? Why do I want to turn a disillusioned person into a passionate builder? Because there is a reward. And there's going to be an eternal reward for them at the end, but then there's also a reward for you here on earth where you can be encouraged and not downtrodden. Because there are going to be times where we're going to get downtrodden because of the results we see are not to our liking. And just understand that, hey, this person started out here, it took them a while, got to this point, and now they're full-blown, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, let's go. And that's so cool, but we also have to be careful because we could see that and be like, all right, Jimmy over there just accepted Christ. He's on his own. See you later. And that's where we have to be careful as a church because when we leave people alone, that's when they stumble and that's when they can fall and that's when they can have bad days, like in that song that we just read. And while they might be like super excited at first, there's always going to be things that might trip them up. There's going to be things where they are going to fall flat on their face and they're like, I don't know what to do with myself right now. And in our two readings, it's when they become like that, they become super happy. They become super excited because whatever I gained, I had counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as because of the surpassing worth. I must have mistyped that. Because that makes no sense. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that is something where I can remember when I prayed with my dad and I was super excited and I was ready to go and be the missionary that my parents thought I was going to be. And then like within a few weeks, I was troubled because I didn't know if my faith actually counted because I hit my brother or I said something mean to my sisters. And my faith was tested right away because I didn't know and I didn't have that firm knowledge that God was going to, he forgave me. The past is in the past. The sins had been washed clean. And that's where my dad would come up to me and be like, Scott, you seem a little troubled right now. And I'd be like, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. And I would start bawling because I knew my parents were going to heaven and I knew my grandparents were going to heaven, but I didn't know if I was going to go to heaven because I had just hit my brother because he took my toy. And I was like, Dad, what am I going to do? And Dad would have to explain to me, he's like, your sins are forgiven. They're gone. You are going to be in heaven with us if you continue to believe in God. And I'd be like, that's so cool. And 2 weeks later, I would be on my knees crying again because I didn't know if I was going to make it to heaven again. And that was a pretty consistent battle for me until I got into confirmation here at church. I started living out my faith a little bit more because it became my own instead of just my parents telling me what to believe. And then I started becoming more passionate. And because I had support, I had people coming up to me from this church who would come up and be like, Scott, how are you doing today? Especially when I started hitting my growth spurts, I had people coming up and be like, you're so tall. And it would start out a conversation because they'd ask me if I was playing sports or if I was doing this or doing that. And at that point in high school, when I didn't talk much, I was like, yeah, I can talk about sports. That's fun. So it was super encouraging for me to come into the church and have people talk to me, even though they would say something silly like, you're tall. But it was still fun for me because then I got to talk something about sports, and then I get to talk about youth group because my cousin Keith was leading it, and he was awesome, and I loved him really, really much. And so it was just like one of those things where I was like, I was passionate because I had encouragement along the way. If I didn't have a strong Christian parents, if I didn't have a strong Christian church that stayed to the word, I don't know where I would be. I might not be at this point where I'm graduated from college with a lay ministry degree and able to speak to you guys on a Sunday when pastor is not here. So it's just like, from that standpoint, it blows my mind sometimes thinking about it, because there are people out there who are going to go through the same thing that I went through, where they're going to think, I accepted Christ, but 2 weeks later, I went back to the sin that I was trying to get out of. Or 2 weeks later, I did something wrong, and I don't know where I'm going to be. And it doesn't have to be someone who's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. It happens to adults, too, because with our intellect, I don't have that, apparently, intellect, it's we start overthinking things, and we start going into that point of like, well, I don't want to be passionate right at this point. I'm going to be passionate at a later point. And then we start pushing things off, and we start becoming less passionate. And that's where us as a church has to step into that situation, whether they are Christian or not Christian, and be like, hey, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to help you out. Let's get going. And so with our third and final music video that we're going to watch, this is meant to be an encouragement for us as a congregation. And the reason why is because we are going to hit snares. We are going to get frustrated with things. And when we go through those things, we need to understand that God's going to be there for us, and he's our everything. We don't have to worry about what is going on overseas. Let me phrase it. We need to worry what's going on overseas, but it's more of like God is in control of it. We need to understand that he's in control of our finances. We need to understand he's in control of when we drive from church to home. We need to understand that and let him be a part of that and not push him away and becoming less passionate because of it. So as we go into this last song, what we'll do is we'll play the last song, and then I'll get up and pray. But I just want this song to be an encouragement to you as a congregation. This is called My Everything, and again, it's by Owl City.
When my hope is lost and my strength is gone, I run to you and you alone. When I can't get up and I can't go on, I run to you and you alone. 'Cause you're my light in the dark, and I sing with all of my heart. Hallelujah. mind. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, by the grace of God above. Hallelujah, I'll shine the light cause I know. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is all I know how to say. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're my everything. Oh, you're my everything.
Today, we have a challenge put in front of us to turn disillusion into passionate builders, and we need to be passionate in while we are doing that. So it's in our bulletin. It stares at us every single week. Sometimes we just pass it over because we're looking for whose birthday it is this week or who's doing sound or whatever. But understand that this is a thing that we must consistently go back to, because there are always going to be people who need help with their spiritual life, whether it be an old Christian who's been in the faith for a long time, or a brand new one who just needs some encouragement along the way. So pray with me. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to speak. I thank you for the words that you gave me today. I thank you for the fact that we can go and listen to music with just powerful lyrics. And I pray, Lord, that this congregation would be encouraged as we move forward, turning the disillusioned into passionate builders. I thank you for the fact that you have given us that mission, and I thank you for the challenge that also comes with it. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to strive in all our daily grind to be like that. So I just thank you. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church. Keep us always looking towards you and what your word says. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.